Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Ahead of One's Time department here at Car Talk Plaza. Now, it turns out that once again, while we thought my brother was just another moron, we found out that he was just way ahead of his time. And we're going to need some background. You'll have to tell us the story, the original incident.
All right.
And when it all happened.
The original incident.
What was the year?
It was way back. It was another millennium.
Yeah.
I had just graduated from college.
Many, many decades ago.
Many, many decades ago.
In a galaxy far away.
And I was obliged by the laws of this country at the time to perform some kind of military duty, which involved either volunteering to go into the Army for, like, years, or to go into the Army Reserve. And that required that you go to 6 months of real active duty with the real guys.
So you did the push-ups and all
that
stuff.
The guys who were in for 2 or 3 or 4 or 20 years, right? So there I am. I go to this place which is completely foreign to me. I mean, this is not my style. You don't sit around drinking cappuccino when you're in basic training. So we go through all the business. We run. We jog. Everyone pukes every day. We eat in the mess hall. We do all this stuff. One of the parts of the operation that really troubled me was we had to fire rifles.
Mm.
Ooh. That,
right.
I mean, what? Come on, what is that? The worst part, however, was every time you shot the gun, you had to clean it. We took the thing apart, put it back together. I learned how to do that.
Right.
So one night, we're doing night maneuvers, and we go out in the dark, and we go to the firing range, and we're supposed to be lying down in the mud, and every once in a while, some kind of a thing 150 yards away is supposed to pop up, and you're supposed to shoot at it.
Yeah.
Then they look to see if you hit it. Good. Now, what did I give a damn if I hit it or not? Who cares?
What are they going to do, send you home?
They're not going to fire me, right? So there I am. It's pitch black. Pitch black. Moonlight. Starlight. And I'm lying there saying to myself, I fire this gun just once, and I'm going to have to spend 2 hours cleaning it.
Yeah.
I says to myself, if I don't fire it, who's going to know? Even Sergeant McNeely, who knew everything. I said, how's he going to know? There's 100 of us lined up, lying on the ground. I said, what he's probably doing, he's watching us, and there's a recoil, of course. When you fire the thing, boom, it pushes you back.
Right.
So I lie there on the ground, and I start doing bang. Bang. I mean, I had to give myself the message that the thing had fired.
All right. That was your motivation.
So I'm saying out loud, bang. And as I say bang, I'm recoiling.
Got it.
And I figure from the back, who the hell is going to know? Right? Bang. Bang. It was great. I said, I've got this deal beat. All of a sudden, I hear in my ear, I mean, like his mouth is right next to my right ear. And he's leaning over me, evidently, good old Sergeant McNeely, and he says, Private Magliozzi, what are you doing? And I say, oops. And, of course, he hit me over the head and told me to start shooting. So I had to clean the gun. But I thought it was a pretty good idea. I mean, I wasn't hurting anybody. That's the background to the story. No, that was 50 years ago, right?
Well, let's fast forward to London, Reuters. Boop, 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 boop. British Royal Navy recruits are being ordered not to fire live shells.
There you go.
Instead, they are instructed to shout, bang! It is all part of the Ministry of Defense's drive to save money, but sailors say it makes a mockery of their training. It's like being a kid again, playing cowboys and Indians
exactly.
In the school playground.
It's okay by me.
It's a sad joke, and sailors are disgusted. It makes you ask what the Navy is coming to. But you, Frank, you were just...
I was 50 years ahead of my time.
You were 50 years ahead of your time. Just say bang.
That's it.
I can see it as a bumper sticker now.
Just say bang. I see it too.
Anyway, if you want us to look into your future or your car's future, call us at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888 888- 727-8255.
Private Magliozzi?
What the Sam Hill are you
doing?
You Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, guys. This is Alex from Chapel Hill.
Hey, Alex.
How's it going?
Oh, great. What's happening?
Well, I've got some deep emotional and psychological wounds that I need to heal.
Really?
Whoa.
And they pertain to my pickup truck.
Oh, closure. This is good to do with closure, huh?
Well, I'm calling to see if I actually need to start preparing for closure.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Yeah, I've got a 78 Datsun pickup.
You need to.
Yeah. Remember Datsun. The old Datsuns. 265,000 miles on it.
Uh-huh.
And it's a part of my family now.
Of course.
And my mechanic has told me that it's dropped a valve, and he thinks it needs to be buried and put away. And
is the engine seized, or will it crank?
It'll crank. As a matter of fact, I drove it home from the mechanic's place. It didn't drive well.
Well, home okay. is the best place for these things, these closures, to take place. You can't have proper closure in bay three of the shop. I mean, you just can't, unless they allow you to stay there after hours. I mean, you have to be alone with the truck.
Yeah, you're right, and I can't bring the relatives there and all that kind of stuff.
That's right.
I mean,
so it runs on three cylinders, basically.
Yes, and it, you know what? It's not really smoking out of the exhaust, and it's running. I mean, you know what I think? I think it's in denial. I think, it's just been running so good for so long that.
Well, I wouldn't be so quick to condemn. I mean, the terminology is very important,
mm-hmm.
and his terminology is incorrect. It did not drop a valve, because uh-huh. that would be real bad.
Uh-huh.
All it has done is, it sounds like it has a worn-out valve.
Yeah, it burned a valve.
A burned valve.
Okay.
You don't hear any clanging, crashing noises when it runs, do you? Anymore?
No, it just runs really rough, really roughly.
My guess is you just burned the valve out. I mean, it's not unexpected at 265,000 miles, so... So you burn the valve out.
It's probably not the first time it happens either.
you may be running now on two cylinders. Maybe you used to be running on three and you just didn't know any better.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you could have him take the cylinder head off, which is actually very easy to do on this truck.
Uh-huh.
In fact, I haven't done one of these in so long that I think I retired the tool that I used to use to keep the chain from falling down into the oil pan.
What, the coat hanger?
No. The wedge, the piece of wood. Remember the wedge?
The wedge.
Yeah. So what you're saying is that I can actually resuscitate this thing.
Well, I mean, it's certainly worthy of further investigation because this is not necessarily, for most vehicles, a terminal condition.
Huh.
I mean, how bad is the rest of the truck? Does it cast a shadow?
Now this truck, it runs beautifully. Besides this, it was running just fine.
And how's the rust?
I tell you, I got a canopy on there, so the back is fine. It's not rust. There's no rust on the front of it. It's just fine.
It's got good brakes and ball joints and all that stuff.
Yes,
it's rock solid.
Well, you know, you're talking to a guy who's, I love this thing. It's part
well,
of
I know.
My family. It's become, I mean, when I take it to the shop for an oil change and they say, what type of oil? I say, type O negative. I mean, it's my, what I'm saying?
Do you pace up and down the waiting room like a nervous father?
Wait. I do, sure.
Let's get this straight. You say it's part of the family. Is it perhaps the entire family?
We don't want to go there, do we?
I guess not.
I guess not. There's no need to go there anymore.
If that is the case, I mean, if what you've told us is factual,
uh-huh.
then I would definitely tell your mechanic to take off the head.
I would too.
Absolutely, because it's possible that for just a mere few hundred dollars, literally a few hundred dollars,
yeah,
fewer than nine.
No, just a few hundred.
Yeah, no, this is easy. You could be back in business. He could have you back in traffic by Monday, as they say.
How old is your mechanic?
He's about 33.
No, no good.
Wrong guy.
Got to find another guy.
Too young. Not only does he not have the tool.
He's younger than the truck.
He never had it. And he's scared to death to take the head off because he doesn't know what to do with the chain.
Okay.
He's heard the stories.
Yeah. He's trying to get you to dump it so he won't be embarrassed.
Okay.
By having to tell you he doesn't know how to fix this car.
So I should call around.
Try to find a nice 50 or 60-year-old mechanic down there in Chapel Hill. There must be one left alive. And he will have this done in an afternoon.
Wow. Boy, you guys, you make me feel so much better.
Well, I'm glad we could do this for you, Alex.
Yeah, right.
They say you should talk to people like this because they can go off the deep end. You should always try to use calming language.
Yeah.
Whatever.
And always
keep them on the phone as long as possible.
Give them hope. Always
right.
Give them,
see, maybe some family members can get over there.
Have we traced the call yet? Have we got the call traced?
Yeah. Good luck, Alex.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Bye. Oh, he's still there.
Oops.
Thank you, guys.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Mariah.
Mariah. They call the wind Mariah, do they not?
They do.
But we'll have to call you Mariah now.
Is there an H on the end of it?
No.
So it's Maria.
It is not.
M-A-R-I. Oh, you were pretty adamant about that.
Well,
I mean, if you lived in Ponce, Puerto Rico, you wouldn't be called Mariah now, would you?
It's the old English spelling and pronunciation.
What's the spelling?
M-A-R-I-A.
Yeah, Maria.
Mariah.
But Mariah is good.
Three other women to spell it and pronounce it like myself, but all from the South.
Yeah, I like it, and it's very nice.
Thank you.
Yes.
And it's how it's spelled in the song. It's true.
Oh, it is?
Really?
Honest.
Oh.
Ah.
Well, so
So is that an old English song?
No.
Frankie Lane was an old Englishman? I didn't know that. Where'd you say you were from, Mariah?
Wyoming.
Wyoming.
For the past 16 years, anyway.
Wow.
Jackson Hole.
No kidding.
A lovely spot, is it not?
Yeah, it's great.
And where were you from before you moved to Wyoming?
North Carolina.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Sandy beaches.
Well, I was from the center part of the state, 3.5-4 hours from the beach or mountains, either one.
Yeah,
so.
Now you're 3.5 or 4 days from the beach, but that's okay.
I know. I miss the ocean. I do.
Yeah, there's nothing quite like it, but anyway, you're stuck there, and we'll do the best we can with it.
Right. So anyway, yeah. I have a Toyota Tercel, four-wheel drive station wagon. It's an 88. I've always only owned Toyotas. They're great. But what it does is when I'm at a complete stop, when I put it in first gear and I start again and go to turn, I hear a thump, 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 thump.
Aha.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds as if it's coming from the center of the car. It's equally loud from the passenger or the driver's side.
Very good.
And my husband does hear it now.
Is it on both turns, left and right, or
yes.
Only both?
Yes. I noticed it first and most when going to the left, but it definitely does it both ways now.
Okay, here's what you do. Remove the hood.
Uh-huh.
And have your husband lie on the roof, sprawled across the windshield, face down.
Holding on to the windshield wiper blades.
Holding on to the windshield wiper blades. Do not turn on the windshield wipers during this exercise. And then you must drive. When you take that left turn, make it real sharp. Give him a challenge. See if he can hold on with his feet.
Uh-huh.
I mean,
and he'll be able to tell exactly where it's coming from.
But is the noise from the front half of the car?
Yes. Yes.
Is it way up front or like underneath you almost?
Almost underneath me. I would say, you know, it seems like it's under the console area.
And down real low.
Yes.
And a very heavy-sounding thump.
Yes.
But it's regular. In other words, the spacing between the sounds is regular. And the faster you go, the faster they come.
Yes.
Yeah, well, we haven't got a clue. No, I think what you have, I mean,
have
you must
several.
Be a new listener because we've had many calls about this over
thousands,
the years.
Hundreds.
I think you have a bad constant velocity joint.
A what velocity?
Constant.
Constant.
Uh-huh.
And otherwise known as a CV joint.
Right.
You have a front-wheel drive vehicle primarily. They added the rear-wheel drive to make it, what?
Four-wheel drive.
Right.
While there is some possibility that it is the hanger bearing on the drive shaft, I've dismissed that.
Have you?
Yes, I have completely dismissed that. It is also a possibility that it is a bad transmission mount, and I won't dismiss that one yet.
Well, I didn't dismiss the mount.
No.
No. I mean,
he had his hand raised the whole time. He had to go to the bathroom.
No, I mean, I think the location is wrong for the hanger bearing,
but
the location is not wrong for the transmission mount.
No, I think you could, but you probably the car is the right age to have a bad constant velocity joint. And I would just wait until it gets worse. It'll be easier to figure out. It's not dangerous. Nothing's going to fall off. You're not going to die.
It'll get progressively very bad.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
To the point where you'll begin to hear it when you accelerate through any kind of a turn, and the tone will become more of a rapping or clacking sound. Instead of a boom, 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 it'll become a clack, 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 clack.
Okay.
But typically, if it's an inboard joint, they make more of a booming noise as opposed to a clacking noise. So
okay.
It might not change, but when it gets bad enough, have your mechanic replace one of the axles and try it out.
So I've got the constant velocity joint written down, the hanger bearing, and the transmission mount.
There you go. Yeah. Very good.
Possibilities.
And motor
mount. I'm not a new listener.
I'm not a
super regular listener because I can't get the darn station in my house. I listen to you in my car. And I laugh too much.
Well, we have to keep your car running in that case.
That's right.
All right.
Okay.
Well, good luck, Mariah.
Thanks.
You're one of six very important people.
Okay.
See you later.
Thanks.
Bye.
All right, Tommy. Do you remember last week's puzzler?
No, I don't. Would you give me a hint?
Well, I'll give you a great hint. It was about time passing slowly, very, very slowly.
Sort of like my first marriage.
Well, no, that's not it. I'll refresh your memory in just a minute.
Tooling down the highway doing 79. I'm a twin pipe popper and I'm feeling fine. Hey, man, dig that. Was that a red stop sign? Transfusion. I'm just a solid mess of contusions. Never, never, never gonna speed again. Slip the blood to me, bud. I jump in my rod about 8:45. I gotta make a date with that chick of mine. I cross the center line. Man, you gotta make time. Transfusion. Oh, man, I got the cotton-picking convolutions. I'm never, never, never gonna speed again. Shoot the juice to me, Bruce. My foot's on the throttle and it's made of lead, but I'm a fast-riding daddy with a real cool head. I'm a-gonna pass a truck on the hill ahead. Transfusion, my red corpse suckles are in mass confusion. Never, never, never gonna speed again. Pour the crimson in me, Jimson.
And even though Toronto Mayor Rob Ford says we're destroying the dignity of radio whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more Car Talk.
Yeah, like you're a parent and need a scared straight punishment for your kids.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says, listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler.
Hmm.
Right, you ready?
I'm ready. I still don't remember it.
We have a friend who shall remain nameless who works at a government facility and does very important work.
It's almost a given, government facility.
It's going to be important work, right? Anyway, one day he's at his desk working away, reading some very technical manual, when he's awakened, startled by the sound of his stomach growling. He turns in his seat and looks at the electric clock on the wall behind him. This is one of those clocks that you see in office buildings everywhere. You know, it plugs into the wall.
Hmm.
You got it?
Yeah.
It's one of those big analog round things.
Yeah.
He looks at the clock, and as he turns back to his work, he says, gee, it's obviously too early to eat lunch. I must have forgotten to eat breakfast.
Hmm.
He returns to work. A short time later, he's again startled by the growling of his stomach. He turns to look at the clock again. This time, he notices that it's later than it was the first time that he looked. Duh. But it's still too early for lunch. The second hand is sweeping, the hour hand is moved, and the minute hand is in a different position than it was before. And in fact, the hands of the clock are exactly 180 degrees apart, like they would be if it were 6 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
As he turns back to his desk, again thinking about how interminably long this morning seems, his stomach growls for the third time, and he says, the clock is broken. How did he know the clock was broken?
Mm.
Well, I mean, I purposely made the narrative rather lengthy so as to obfuscate.
Yeah, of course. We knew that.
And confuse.
Yeah.
And did I do that?
You succeeded. I don't know the answer.
Well, you do know the answer.
I do.
You know, let's say he looked at the clock and he saw that the hands were 180 degrees apart, but the clock read 11:25.
Yeah.
But that's impossible.
It's impossible for it to be 1125?
It's impossible for it to be 1125 and the hands be 180 degrees apart.
Of course.
Because when it's 1125, in fact...
Our hands should be beyond 11.
It should be 5/12 of the way to 12. When it's 1130, shouldn't it be halfway between 11 and 12?
Yeah, but...
Right? But if it's exactly on 11... And the minute hand is exactly on the
but
five.
But you didn't say that.
I didn't. I just said that the hands were 180 degrees apart. And
that's
what
he noticed.
And they
could be 180 degrees.
Not at 1125.
Who said anything about 1125?
Well, that's what he noticed.
How about 1127?
Wasn't 1127.
But the hands would have been 180 degrees apart.
But that's how he knew the clock was broken.
Oh, jeez.
He knew the clock was broken because it read a time that was impossible.
Oh, man, this is really sucky.
No, it isn't. It's wonderful.
Oh, man, you are going to get so much hate mail. I'll be on your side. I'm your brother.
Oh, I doubt it.
I'll defend you to the death.
I doubt it.
But I have to say that this stinks to high heaven.
I doubt
it. To high heaven, I tell you. This stinks a lot.
They're like rats leaving a sinking ship. Bourbon has run out.
I mean, sure.
What? Sure. I could have merely said the clock reads 9:15 and the two hands are opposite each other, 180 degrees. Is that a possibility? And you would have said, no, that's impossible.
No, it's not. Yeah.
So I had to clever it up, so to speak.
Wow.
Come on.
Fine. All right, fine. I'll give it to you.
It's wonderful to have such a ringing endorsement.
No, I understand the difficulty of coming up with a puzzler that doesn't stink out loud. But nonetheless, we have a winner anyway. I mean, somebody won.
Well, Pyrrhic victory. Jeez. You might as well, whatever she gets, you might as well just throw it out.
How'd you know it's a she?
I know it's a she.
It's Mari Belsky from Medford, Oregon. And for having her bogus answer selected at random from among all the bogus answers that we receive, Marie will get a $25 gift certificate to the Car Talk Shameless Commerce Division. Congratulations, such as it is, Marie.
You done?
Yeah.
We'll have a new, hopefully not completely stinko, puzzler coming up in the third half of today's show, so stay tuned for that.
Not completely stinko.
In the meantime, you can call us and ask questions about your car at
1-888-CAR-TALK.
That's 888-2...
Well, you're going to be ready to accept...
I'm a very sensitive guy. I hope you know that. 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi there.
Hi, who's this?
How are you guys doing? This is Allison from Ohio.
Hey, Allison. Hi. Was that a stinko answer or what?
It was pretty bad.
Next caller.
So what's up, Allison?
Okay, I've got a 1990 Oldsmobile Cutlass Supreme.
Mm-hmm.
And I have this little alarm thing that goes off whenever I do something like turn off the car and leave the lights on.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's just this little electronic beeping thing.
Yeah.
However, what's happening recently is whenever I have the lights on, I'm driving down the highway, my lights on, and I apply the gas pedal, the alarm starts going off.
Yeah.
But when I take my foot off the gas, it will go off. Or if I put my foot on the brakes, it will go off.
Oh, so if you step on the gas, the little buzzer thing comes on.
Yes.
And stays on.
Until I take my foot off the gas.
Is it a buzz or is it a ding, 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 ding?
It's a ding, ding.
So as long as you're if you coast, it goes off.
Yes.
But if you're accelerating, it goes ding-a-ling-a-ling.
Mm-hmm.
And if you brake, it goes off too.
Yes.
Oh. What color is the car?
It's gray.
Gray.
Mm-hmm.
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 Is it a two-door or
four-door? It's
four-door. Four-door.
Mm-hmm.
I think I know the answer.
Really?
Do you?
I do.
Wonderful.
Really?
Well,
I don't.
I mean, again, I know the answer in the abstract.
Okay.
Well, that's good enough. It's a start.
Yeah, sure.
It's a start.
If you were to open your door
mm-hmm.
while you were driving, you would get the same ding, ding, ding.
I've never tried it, but
try it.
So. Okay.
Okay. I mean, just open the door a crack.
This is the basic dummy ding, ding, ding. Anything you do,
right?
It's
you leave the lights on, you leave the keys in.
Yeah.
You open the door while the car is moving. It's
so
ding, ding.
What I think is happening is the little switch which keeps the thing from going ding, ding, ding
mm-hmm.
is just on the hair's edge of being out of adjustment so that when you accelerate the car, you are distorting the frame enough So that it appears to the switch that the door is open or ajar.
Okay,
and then when you brake or slow down, okay, then you close the switch and the dinging stops. And it could be any of the four doors.
Okay, because I've tried slamming the door pretty hard when I'm going, like pulling it in.
Well, you know what to do? Open the window, and when it's doing this,
stick
your arm, hang your arm out the window, and pull the door closer to you.
Okay.
It's most likely to be the driver's door.
All right.
Because that's the one that's used all the time.
Sure.
But it could be any of them.
Yeah, and suck it in toward you, and that'll pull it tight, and the ding-ding should stop. And if it does, then at least you'll be able to go and tell someone exactly what to fix.
Okay. All right.
And it may even be the same switch that operates the dome light. I'm not sure.
All right.
But it may not be turning the dome light on, but it may be enough to turn this ding-a-ling thing on.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
See you, Allison.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hi. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello. You're on Car Talk.
Hi. This is Tracy calling from Staten Island.
Hey, Tracy. What's going on?
Well, I have kind of an ethical car dilemma.
Oh.
There is a totally junked out Nissan Stanza that has been parked in front of my house for at least 2.5, maybe 3 months.
I didn't know my brother was visiting.
It is a total junker car.
Uh-huh.
It has been ticketed because the plates and the registration don't match. So if you look in the car, which I have done, on the passenger seat is a stack of registration stickers. So to me, this car just screams, I've been dumped.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So in New York, the only way it can get towed is if it's got enough tickets on it, you know, over a certain amount of money, then the cops can tow it, or if it doesn't have plates on it.
Yeah.
Oh.
You see where this is going.
Oh, Tracy, you little devil. You.
So here's the thing. So I am the hot-headed New Yorker.
Yeah.
And I want to go
out.
You're
looking for a parking space.
You know, it's a tiny street. We only have 8 houses. There's very limited parking. So my solution to this problem is 3 a.m., a wrench, the plates are gone, 72 hours, so is the eyesore of a car. Now, my husband thinks this is a horrible idea.
I do, too.
You do? Oh.
No, I think much better than that is to call our cousins Vinny and Carmine and take care of it for you.
Well, the only reason I don't like it is, think about this.
Okay.
Some guy parked there, legitimately, and that night he had a heart attack and he's been in the hospital for the last month and a half, 2 months, or whatever it's been. And he's waiting to get out from this hospital so he can get back to his car and drive home to see his family.
To his ailing mother.
Okay. But don't you think that the fact that the plates and registration don't match makes it kind of suspicious?
Well, this guy's he's a criminal.
But it doesn't alter the fact that he has a mother.
So what do I do? And I'm so, oh, my God. My husband told me that you guys were going to be the decision makers for us. And he was like, I swear we'll do whatever they say.
You've been in the car, right?
No, I haven't been in the car.
Well, the first thing you have to do is break in.
Yeah.
Because you have to find out if the car's registered to somebody. Can you see any of the papers that are on the seat? Is the car registered to someone in your neighborhood?
Well, how do I find that out? I can find out who it's registered to?
If you can break in and read the registration.
We can't
advocate you breaking into a car, but
if
somehow the door should wind up open.
You don't understand. There are literally cobwebs from the wheel to the curb.
No, but Tommy's scenario is plausible.
In fact,
somebody could have had some awful thing happen to him or her. And all the car could have been stolen and just abandoned there. But you could certainly canvass the neighborhood.
So you are siding with my zen-like husband from California. Who's
well, I am, and then I'm not. So you can't break into the car, but you could push it down the street about half a block, and then it'll be in front of someone else's house.
Oh, my gosh.
So I'm assuming, Tracy, that you've called the police and they've come by and looked at this thing?
I have called the police, and they have written a bunch of tickets, and they're like, sorry, lady, there's nothing we can do. But one officer did say, unless the plates happen to come off, and that's what gave me my devious idea.
Is there a plate on the front and on the back?
There is, and it's only the plates are hanging off.
They're
only
hung by a thread. so a strong wind could knock them off.
See, that's what I'm saying. It might not even need a wrench.
You might not even need a wrench. You might have to. Every day you should go by and blow on them.
Okay. That's what I'm going to do on my way home from work tonight. Maybe a little kick.
Yeah. A little kick, and maybe encourage the neighborhood kids to play stickball in the vicinity of the car. And if a window should get broken, then you can find out who owns it. And
But don't forget the guy lying there in bed in the emergency room with a heart attack.
Slowly recovering, thinking of his aged mother who hasn't seen him in 4 months and doesn't know where he is.
That's right.
She's been calling his apartment, calling. Nobody knows where he is. And you're about to have his
car. You're making me feel guiltier than my husband. All right, I'll try to get the boys down the block to use it as third base in a baseball game.
Okay.
And see what happens.
All right.
Let us know what happens.
Thank you very much.
Good luck, Tracy. See you later.
Bye-bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, how's things in Boston?
You
Pretty
sound
good.
Like you're calling from far away.
Yeah, Inkster, Michigan.
Inkster?
Yeah, 20 miles west of Detroit.
What's your name?
Jim Simpson.
How are you, Jim? No last names, please, because the police there in Detroit might come after us.
Is that with one M or two?
And it's Simpson, and I live on Brentwood. Size that up.
So what's up, Jim?
Well, when I let my car just sit still and run so I can run the radio and the heater, fine. And if it runs about 30 minutes, I'll shut off the motor and the radio and the heater, and then I try to start it back up, and it goes.
Yeah.
When you're running the radio and the heater for these 30 minutes, the engine is running.
Yes.
It's not just in the on position.
Yes.
Otherwise, you wouldn't have any heat.
So it is on.
So he's trying to restart a very hot engine.
Yeah.
And
that's what you're trying to do. You shut the key off, and then a few minutes later, or maybe even as much as 20 minutes later, you tried to restart this very warm engine.
Okay, now, are you ready for this?
Yeah.
I am going to tell you that you are driving a General Motors car.
No, it's a Mercury.
They make them.
Yeah. Maybe it's a General Motors motor.
It's a Mercury, huh?
85 Mercury Grand Marquis.
Oh, okay.
And after it says a little while, it starts up pretty good, and I can't understand that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Well,
that your only problem?
How do you finally get it to start when this happens?
I let it sit for a while with nothing on, and then I start it up.
It starts right up.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. You take your clothes off? You sit there with nothing. Repeat that. You sit there with nothing on.
Yeah.
And of course it's going to start.
Well, I got my bikini swim trunks.
Yeah.
You get your Calvin Klein bikinis on.
Well,
I suspect that either you have a bad starter motor.
I don't like that one.
You have a marginal battery.
I don't like that one.
Excessive resistance someplace.
I don't like that one either.
Or you have excessive carbon buildup in the engine.
One more.
Which is, that's I only had four.
And there's one more.
One more?
One more.
A bent key.
Well, I've only had the battery in there a year, and it's a 60-month battery.
Bad timing. It's very bad timing when this happens. You might have very advanced timing also.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, you could. Advanced timing could exacerbate this problem, but considering,
especially when it's hot.
Considering the age of your car, I would guess that option number four is the right one.
Carbon?
Yes. You have carbon buildup, and therefore you have a much higher compression ratio than you should, and that is the equivalent of having advanced timing.
Yeah,
because
right.
You're trying to combust the gas before each and every piston can get to the very top of its compression stroke. The heat of compression alone is trying to combust the gas and working against you and pushing each piston down as the starter motor is trying to push it up.
How would I get rid of carbon buildup?
Forget it.
Take it out on 94 and do about 80 or 90 miles?
Yeah, you're going to do that for about 3 years.
There's almost no way to get rid of the carbon once it happens. I mean, the truth is that I had a Ford. What was that thing I
LTD.
Had? LTD.
Yeah, I had one of those.
Yeah, I had a big V8 engine, like a 351 Windsor.
That's next to the Lincoln.
Yeah, big. And when that thing was hot, you couldn't start that for love nor money.
Had to let it cool down.
You had to let it cool down. And if I held the key long enough to get it started, I'd melt the wires going from the battery to the starter motor.
Yeah,
shouldn't do that because you're running the battery down unnecessarily. You're putting a great strain on the starter motor. And you're going to shorten the life of it.
And it ain't going to start anyway, so don't waste your time.
If the timing is correct, and it is carbon, which I believe it is, Then just live with it.
All right.
Yeah.
Trust me, Jim.
Well, I sure thank you very much, and I enjoy your show tremendously.
Great. Thanks.
And I wish you both happy, happy holiday season.
Thanks, Jim. Same
thanks
to you.
For
thank
calling.
You for taking my call.
All right.
Pleasure.
Bye-bye. All right, it's time to take a short break.
Right. My brother's going to meditate until a new puzzle just sort of comes to him, you know?
Or until I keel over and bump my head on the microphone. We'll be back in a minute.
Sit down in your seat, snap it in, snap it in. Load up the car, turn the key. Farewell to your friends, you will see them all again. It's time to make some precious memories, because we're going on a road trip.
Road trip!
Na, 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 na. Packing up my pillow and my bear. We're going on a road trip.
Road trip!
Na, 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 na. We won't stop this car till we get there.
And even though NPR management puts us up for sale on eBay whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tapper Brothers. And we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new puzzler.
Don't. Don't have an attitude anymore. Come on, just tell it to us.
All right, here it is. This is stolen somewhat from an email I got from a long time ago.
And let's not forget, the last one was stolen from someone, too. So you're not responsible.
There you go.
You're just a damn thief.
All right, here we go.
Yeah.
You have two trains on the same track speeding toward one another.
I had this problem in the eighth grade.
You did? Did you
get
it?
One of them's going 100 miles an hour.
No. I'm going to make it even simpler.
Yeah.
I'm going to make it simpler, and I'm going to work the numbers, you know, so you can do it in your head.
Will this require drawing a little picture?
I want to see all work.
All the work,
so
okay.
If you're going to send an answer in, I want to see the work.
You want to see the work, okay. So
the trains are 150 miles apart.
150, okay.
On the same track, but going clearly in opposite directions.
They're always on the same track, aren't they? You'd think they'd know by now not to put two trains going in opposite directions on the same track.
So they're heading toward each other. All right?
Yeah, I got it.
All right. When they are 150 miles apart, a very fast bee flies from the... Now, pay attention, damn it!
Yeah, okay, I got it.
Flies from the bumper of one train, the front bumper, that is, if trains even have bumpers, to the front bumper of the oncoming train, the other train. Of course, as soon as it gets there, without losing any time... It turns right around and heads back.
Yeah.
So as these trains are speeding toward each other, you got it?
All right, I got it. Stop it.
The bee flies at 137.5 miles per hour.
Huh? Really?
How far will the bee have traveled before he is squashed like a grape?
Or worse.
Between 150 tons of mangled steel.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the question.
Well, how fast are the trains going?
I told you. Didn't I?
No.
Didn't I left that out?
You left that out.
I'm sorry.
You moron.
The trains are traveling at 75 miles an hour.
Are they?
So you got two each traveling at 75.
That's better.
75 and 75. They started 150 miles apart.
Yeah.
Notice how that's convenient.
That's very convenient.
Right? And the bee is flying at 137.5.
Oh, you have to make it that hard?
Miles an hour. So the question is, how far does the bee fly?
Fly from the bumper of the first one.
Back and forth.
And when you said the trains are 150 miles apart, we're going to assume that the front of the train.
Yes, of course.
Because if there are...
The business end of the train.
The rest of the train is more than 150 miles.
As far as the bee is concerned, it's only the front of the train that counts.
That matters. Okay.
Okay.
So he's flying from the front of train A to the front of train B.
And then back to A, back to B, back to A, back to B.
And does he start at the precise moment that they both start? Someone says go, at which point both trains start going, and they immediately go... 75 miles an hour. They go from 0 to 75
in 0 time.
No, they could
already have been moving at 75 miles an hour.
Let's
do
that.
And the bee happens to start his journey the instant they're 150 miles apart.
I've got it.
So the trains have already achieved terminal, and I mean terminal, velocity.
Yeah.
So at the instant they crash, how far will the bee who's flying at 137 and a half miles per hour, have flown.
This is a great problem.
Zip. I think you know the answer. Zip it to us on the back of a $20 bill to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. Or you can email your answer from cartalk.com. The number, if you'd like to speak to us, is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Even Michael Jordan didn't score a basket every time he shot.
Oh, shut up.
Hello, you're on. He missed a few free throws.
All right.
Hello, you're
cry,
on.
Baby.
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Joel from Bexley, Ohio.
How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
Which corner of the state is Bexley in?
We're right smack dab in the middle. We're a suburb, or actually an inburb of Columbus.
Ah, okay, an inburb.
Yeah, we're surrounded by the city, but yet we're a suburb.
Oh, kind of like Beverly Hills.
Boy, have you not been here.
I just meant you from a geographical standpoint.
That was quick. That was quick, Joel. So what's in your mind?
Well, I have a 1983 Mercedes 380 SL that snores.
What do you mean it snores?
Here's what it does.
Yeah.
When it's cold, like in the morning or after it's been sitting in the lot all day, when you're in first gear, it sounds like this. And it doesn't hesitate. It doesn't do anything else. It doesn't do it in second gear, and it doesn't do it again. It may do it one more time.
It only does it for that brief period of time like you just described?
During the acceleration through the first gear.
So all the time that you're accelerating in first gear, you're hearing that noise?
Just about. And then when it shifts into second, it quits.
This is an automatic.
Automatic.
It's an automatic.
So it does this repeatedly.
It only does it when the engine's cold, like first thing in the morning, and let's say it's been sitting in the lot all day, and it'll do it then.
Okay, so it'll do it on a 60-degree day
yes.
as well as a 20-degree day.
It'll do it any... the weather doesn't matter. Yeah, that very well. That's good.
Well, he's had a lot of practice. Field experience, we call it. Gee.
You have to live it.
Yeah, it's... And it stops.
And it stops.
And the noise stops.
Well, I'll be the first one to admit that my knowledge of Mercedes is limited.
Uh-huh.
To zero. Virtually, maybe negative.
Maybe negative.
I mean, we see some in the shop from time to time, but no one that owns a Mercedes would ever bring his car to us.
No, I mean, would you?
Well, no, I mean,
of course
I wouldn't hesitate.
You wouldn't hesitate.
Well, it's an
age. Problem, so listen.
Have you taken this to the dealer to in an effort to solve this? Has anyone else heard it? Are you the only one that hears it?
No, I'm not hallucinating. It's there. I haven't taken it in yet. I thought I'd wait to see what you guys had to say.
Jeez, I mean, I'm sure there's a good answer somewhere in my brain.
Yeah.
I'll keep helping you out.
I can only think of about three or four real bad ones right now. I mean, have you tried? First of all, you've done all the obvious stuff. You've checked the transmission fluid level.
Yeah. Yeah, the transmission actually has been rebuilt within the last year, and it's in good shape.
I mean, it could be a slipping band. It could be a lot of things. It could be a bad pump. I don't know why it would necessarily make the noise in first gear and not the others, but I'd be willing to bet that it is internal.
Okay.
And I think when you find out what it is, you're going to become very comfortable with this noise.
Yeah, that could be.
I hope so.
Yeah,
I'm cheaply comfortable with this.
Yeah, well, I mean. Frankly, it could go on like, and it probably has been there for a while. I trust.
It's
huh?
been there about 6 months now.
6 months, and during which time it hasn't worsened.
No, that's all it does. It's self-limited. That's all it does.
You couldn't ask for a better problem than that, could you?
Well, no. Except it's what bothers me is I don't know what it is, and it's sort of annoying because there's this sound that doesn't belong there, and yet there it is.
So if you knew what it was. You'd be willing to just forget about it.
If I knew what it was, and you guys could tell me definitively what it was, I could forget about it.
Well, you knew we weren't going to be able to.
Well, here's what you do.
Yeah.
Hang up. Call us right back. Make believe that this call never happened. Okay? I will do a little post-hypnotic suggestion.
All right.
You have never heard of us before.
Never.
You have never spoken to us. And you will have a compulsive urge to call.
So hang up.
Yeah.
All right, call back.
Hang up.
See you, Joel.
Okay, bye.
Got rid of him. Should be that easy with all the callers.
Hurry up. We got to come up with something before he calls back. All right, how about, the band is slipping, and it's about a $2,000 job to fix it.
But it won't get any worse.
It won't get. You can drive it forever like this. It's nothing.
Yeah.
It's a little. It's vibrating. That's what it's doing.
Yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah.
what's making the noise. The band is vibrating. You have a vibrating band.
Right. Is it a three-piece band?
It's Alexander's Ragtime Band.
Okay. You tell him because I can't lie with a straight face. Okay. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello. You're on Car Talk.
Hello.
Yeah.
Who's this?
This is Joel from Bexley.
Bexley what?
Ohio.
Bexley, Ohio. What end of Ohio is Bexley in?
That's right in the middle of Ohio. It's
is it near Columbus?
Yeah, that's right.
Huh.
It's on the outskirts of Columbus.
It's actually in the city.
Wait a minute.
Columbus is like around it.
That's right.
Oh, no, like Beverly Hills.
No, you've not been here before.
No, he hasn't. What's your problem, Joel?
Well, the problem is I have an 83 Mercedes SL from ADSL that snores.
It's a common problem with the 83 SLs. You're not worried about this. What does it sound like?
Well, what happens is...
Let me just guess. Does it do this? You'd start off from a dead stop, right?
Yeah.
When the engine's cold.
Yeah.
And you hear a little...
You've got it.
Only in first gear, I bet.
That's right.
Goes away when it makes the shift.
Nothing to worry about.
Nothing to worry about.
We actually heard about this a long time ago, and we've researched it. Paul Merkey of our research department has done a lot of work on this, and what we've discovered, we actually took the transmission apart and found out that there was a vibrating three-piece band.
He can't lie with a straight face either.
We found the
low reverse band.
That's it.
Yeah.
The one of the bands in the transmission vibrates and makes this very strange noise, but it will run forever like this. You can forget all about it.
Well, if that's the case, then I can rest.
You can rest easy.
Yeah, I mean, you could spend, you know, $1,800 to fix it, but...
I think it's up to $2,250 now.
Yeah, but you can run it like this forevermore.
All right.
Don't worry about a thing, Joel.
Feel better.
Glad we could help.
Enjoy you guys. Keep up the good work.
See you later.
Thanks for calling.
Bye now.
Glad we could help. We may have found a new way to answer questions here. Post-hypnotic suggestion.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello.
Hello.
This is Fran in Columbia, Missouri.
Fran.
Hi.
Columbia, Missouri.
That's right.
What's shaking?
I inherited from my grandfather a 1989 Lincoln Town Car. The good news is it only has 43,000 miles on it. I mean, literally, this is one of those
little old lady stories.
Yeah, little old man story.
Yeah.
Now, the reason I ended up with this car is that I have a 15-year-old daughter who will soon be driving, and my father thought, well, here's a safe car. A lot of metal around her.
Mm. Yeah, but she wouldn't be caught dead in one of those, would she?
Well, my husband had to fly down to Florida and drive this car back. Now, when he got to Florida, called him on the phone. I said, also, tell me about the car. Being a man of few words, he goes, it's a hog.
Yeah, it sure is.
Well, it is.
So, you know, he drove it home, and my daughter walked out and took a look at it, and she goes, cool, a party barge.
There you go. She was looking at that back seat.
She liked it.
I know. Well, see, now, you know, this concerns me, I got to say. She said, I can fit 10 people in the back seat.
A party barge. I love it.
So, you know, I've been looking at this car thinking, well, what am I going to do with it, you know? I went to drive it, and it makes I guess it's the belts go, you know, make this real ee kind of sound, and then when you turn the heater on, more ee noises start coming. And
yeah, those are nothing.
Well, you want to keep all those noises, because when she tries to sneak out of the house at 11:30, you'll hear her start the car. Don't fix any of those noises.
Yeah. And you'll hear her coming home.
Well, that's the other thing. I figure, you know, Columbia's not a very big town. I mean, this girl driving around in this car, my friends will be able to keep an eye on her.
Sure.
Yeah, I saw Erica, you know, downtown in the car. So, but, you know, then
so,
it's...
All them fellas hanging out the windows.
So your daughter wants the car.
Well...
She wants to drive it, and you have some kind of second thoughts about it.
Well, I'm wondering, you know, I mean, she may have to quit school and get a job at McDonald's just to afford the gas on it.
Well, I mean, I'm thinking of it. I mean, if I had a 15-year-old daughter, would I want her to be driving this car? and I haven't convinced myself one way or the other. Granted, it's a lot of iron around you, which makes it safe. On the other hand, it handles like for nothing.
Right.
I mean, it's rotten.
It's terrible.
It's lousy.
It's horrible.
It can't go around a curve without tipping upside down. I
mean, where she's going to be going with this, the handling of the car...
Well,
is not going to be it. There'll be other handling going on.
Oh, no, that's it. It's sold.
It's gone.
That's all she had to hear. That's
it. I'm buying her a little two-seater thing with bucket seats.
You need a two-seater. There, are you just, she needs a Geo Metro.
Or a motorcycle.
No.
Yeah, Geo Metro. Well, I had to tell you, it was my moral responsibility as a parent.
No, I think she will not get into trouble with this car. I think she should drive it.
Well, maybe there's some way that you can modify the back seat to make it uninviting.
Yeah.
Well, my thought was to take all the seats out and just put like an airline pilot seat right in the center.
That would be good. I'm saying you should keep this car. You should take it down to your mechanic, have him change all the vital fluids, have him change the belts, take a look at the hoses and stuff that have been sitting there for all those years, make sure the tires are okay, and start giving Erica some lessons in driving the Monster, because it's not going to be easy.
Yeah, she can go to James T. Kirk School of Starship Driving.
Thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate your advice.
Yeah, good luck.
Bye.
Whew.
While you've wasted an otherwise perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk, our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Cavs of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mayor, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Mystic Lake, flank steak, spice cake, stewed steak, frosted flake, chocolate shake, clam bake, and coffee break, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our practical joke evaluator is Odessa Goodwin. The manager of our employee refrigerator is Carmen Dating. Our staff fact checker is Neera Nuff. Tom's front yard designer is Roxanne Debris. Our program transcriber is Diana Boredom. The pre-recorded portions of today's show were selected by staff librarian, all been heard before. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. And the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the frostbitten chess players in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and above all, don't drive like Tommy.
And don't drive like Ramey.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1347, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our 25th anniversary swag all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, try your hand at 10 of our hardest puzzlers ever, including Evil King Berman and the Three Boxes.
And the Magic Hat Puzzler.
And the Monty Hall Puzzler.
Which was so hard that we had to post a copy of a mathematical proof from the American Statistician magazine to quell the furor over that one.
And how did we quell the furor over the copyright infringement suit from American Statisticians?
Shh! We just took the article down for a few weeks and now we put it back up.
Ah, our 10 hardest puzzlers for your puzzling pleasure all week at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Thanksgiving turkeys look at each other and wonder how we escape the axe whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.